You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy?
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
The pride, passion, and pageantry of college football lives here. This is the Paul Feinbaum Show, Hour 2 Podcast.
And the final day of SEC Media Days has arrived. In fact, it's almost over. We say hello to you from Hoover, Alabama, on a much quieter day today than yesterday, which will go down as one of the more memorable days in SEC history. We have quite a lineup for you. We'll go over all that. We'll certainly include more of your phone calls. But the story of the day and maybe of the year in college athletics is what you heard here all day yesterday. Texas and Oklahoma, inevitable Big 12 departure will linger even if the SEC move isn't swift. This has been the story of the week.
We'll have to wait and see where we're at right now. And like I said, we're very happy where we're at. I know that. So while we're developing the culture and getting this program going to where we think it could go, and you know, being the SEC is, in my opinion, a big advantage to do that. I'll say this, though. Be careful what you ask for when you jump on this lake.
And that comment heard here yesterday on our program resonated through college athletics. We were in a unique position here. The news was breaking, and I look up. Because, I mean, you know who is going to be on, but you're doing other things. And there's Jimbo Fisher. And right after him, the athletic director at Texas A&M, Ross Bjork.
Our position is, look, there's a reason why we left the Big 12 back in 2011 and started in July 1st of 2012, is that we wanted to have a standalone identity in the state of Texas and all the turmoil that was happening in college athletics at the time. And so the SEC has been a perfect fit for us. And we believe that we want to maintain that same identity. Perhaps there's a reason why Texas and Oklahoma are looking around, if that's the case. I think Jimbo said it on the podium. Of course they do. They want to be in the SEC. It's the best conference.
So it was just that type of day where so much news was broken. And then you had Eli Drinkwitz coming on board. he certainly won the press conference today talking about everything else. Eli Drinkwitz, the Missouri coach. Okay. Thank you, coach. I saw him a couple of minutes ago, well, actually about an hour and a half ago, and he's quite a personable guy. We appreciate the shout-out from Coach Drink. Let's talk a little bit more about the story of the day, and that is what everybody is chirping about, everybody is talking about. This is scheduled games between the SEC and Texas and Oklahoma, and they're all over the place. Georgia, Tennessee, LSU, Alabama. That's a long way off. I don't think we'll see Saban in that one. But the one that really has everybody's attention is Arkansas, because that game is the second game of the season on September 11th. And I apologize. Texas plays next year at Alabama. Next couple of years. So Oklahoma is much later. So it's just so interesting to think about what is coming up here. Meanwhile, Jim Harbaugh joking about, I think it was a joke, I don't know what it was, with Harbaugh, you never know, at Big Ten Media Days about whether he would ever beat his biggest rival, the one he has not beat, and that is Ohio State. We're going to do it if we are trying, and anyway, so don't die trying, Jim, just do it. I don't think it will happen. So let's get back to some more serious stories here. And, there's quite a bit going on. We mentioned this yesterday. the very, very sad news of Bobby Bowden's illness that he and his family announced yesterday afternoon that he had a terminal illness. I thought it was one of the most poignant moments of the day here yesterday was when Jimbo Fisher talked about the man he followed at Florida State and also someone that Jimbo got his start in the Bowden family with Terry at Salem and Sanford. Mark Richt addressing Parkinson's disease publicly for the first time at ACC Media Days. A lot of optimism about what's ahead for him. I know it's a very difficult diagnosis, but Coach has continued a very positive outlook. So let's get going here with what we have in store on a very busy afternoon. Coach Brian Harsin will drop by very shortly. Sam Pittman, so that's a pretty good start. We got the Auburn coach and the Arkansas coach. Jim Caval will come in. He's with Influencer, one of the leading experts on NIL. McElroy and Kublik, they have a radio show together now in Birmingham, Alabama. And later in the afternoon, we will talk to the commissioner of the Southeastern Conference about what is in store for him. We'll also take your phone calls this afternoon at 855-242-7285. But again, before we do any of that, let me just somewhat recap this day. And I've covered this event since 1985, and I would say this was one of the more jaw-dropping 2 days I've ever seen because of the difficulty in digesting the news of what happened here yesterday. And there's still really not much more known, and that's the hard part. I think there is a report out today that the Big 12 presidents are going to meet this afternoon, and we will certainly follow that story very, very closely throughout the day. So why don't we take a break here? Invite you to give us a ring at 855-242-7285, 855-242-7285. One more thing. We always end media days, whether we're in Birmingham or Atlanta or wherever we've been, with a very special final hour or so. A lot of the media flies the coop. They're out of here. But we have a contest every year, last man slash woman standing, meeting the room behind me, which is called the print media room. Even though other media members converge in here when it's all over. We will be watching this room all afternoon long. And when we get to the end of the show in 2 hours and 51 minutes from now, we will award the last person standing. And it's become one of the most talked about features during SEC Media Days. But we'll get to the commissioner of the SEC before that. We'll take a break. And the head coach at Auburn University will join us next.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
Yes, as they walk past, we are just upstairs from that. Great to have all of you here. The last media member standing contest begins in a couple of hours, but calls begin now. And Justin is up next. Hello, Justin. Good afternoon.
Hey, how you doing, sir?
We are doing great. Thank you.
Just wanted to call in about the Oklahoma-Texas fiasco. I think Oklahoma would fare pretty well in the SEC given the NFL talent they produce. But is it wrong to think that Texas would be a non-factor in the SEC?
Well, no, I don't think it would be wrong. I mean, Texas has been a non-factor in the Big 12. So I think if you use some sort of bizarre deductive reasoning, if you're out of Texas, you're going, we have not been able to succeed here. Maybe there's some reasons for it. Bad decisions. Charlie Strong to Tom Herman. And, you know, going to the SEC will maybe give this program a little bit of juice. It's worth remembering, Texas has been beaten badly in its own state. Ohio State has come in there. Alabama came in there this year for the best offensive lineman, whose father, by the way, went to Texas. So I think sometimes you just have to make a crazy choice that may go against your history. Businesses do it all the time. A lot of people do it, and I think that's what Texas is apparently going to do.
Yeah, absolutely.
Good to hear from you. Thank you very much. How about John in Louisville? Hey, John.
Hey, good afternoon. I have to agree, this has been one heck of a week. Some great interviews, and I was really impressed with Lane Kiffin. I thought he was, you set the table nicely with some levity, but opening, but he was concise, he was humble, he was he answered every question. Very impressed with his interview.
Yeah, the real Lane Kiffin, John, is a little bit of the manufactured media version of him, where he often comes off as a cartoon character. I find him, somewhat introverted. He can be funny, but it's very understated. And I've known him, quite a while, and have become friendly with him. And I really, sometimes he really doesn't say a whole lot, but when he does, the comments can be pretty bombastic.
Well, you brought the best out of him. And every time I hear Gene Chesek, I wonder, why isn't that guy coaching?
You're not the only one who's asked that question. I think some people have considered Chizik. And it's funny, I was working out early today, and we were talking on the treadmill next to each other. And he is just such a smart guy and thoughtful, and I don't know. Sometimes it happens in every industry, John, whether it's this one or business, you just kind of cycle out. But somebody would be wise to take a swing at him one day.
Yeah, and thank you for bringing Larry on. I can tell he's back because he had some Hey Jacks in his conversation, and you put him through the Mark Kubiak stress test too.
Yeah, we always hear about Kubiak and Dan Brands. I promised that we would eventually see them soon, and I think that day is coming very soon, maybe around the corner.
Here's my question on Oklahoma and Texas entering, and obviously the Texas AD won't have it on his watch. But as I understand it, it takes 3/4 of the other members to approve it. And my question to you is, would the SEC be that interested? And if so, do you think it'll pass?
I do think it will pass, because at this level, this is not being nominated for a fraternity in college. I mean, this is a billion-dollar industry, and I don't think anything goes this far down the road without somebody on this side, meaning the SEC side, telling Texas and Oklahoma, you guys are in. You can't afford to have a vote. These are not guys that are banging down the door. They've already had this thing vetted. And I know what Texas A&M said yesterday, and some of that was posturing, and some of that was playing to their fan base. But I don't believe, and I know he's going to be here today, and he probably won't address it because he's probably unable to. But I don't believe we would have gotten to this point, and I think a lot has happened, without the SEC knowing this thing is going to happen.
Well, great show this week. And I just have one last comment. And this is non-SEC. It was, it came out of Dabo, whatever, regarding the proposed new playoff system. And obviously he's like Nick, because he's been to six straight playoffs, and he's the only other with a double digit victories. But I thought his comment was, I'm not sure if there are 12 good teams. I thought that was kind of funny.
Well, it's not only funny, John, it is accurate. And
I know.
There weren't four good teams last year. And yes. Notre Dame fans can say whatever they want. Texas A&M and Notre Dame were very good teams, but they were not great teams. They were not on the same level as Ohio State and Alabama, or even Clemson. But it was such a weird year. We didn't have a good sample size from Ohio State. We had that one bad loss for A&M to Alabama. So rarely have there been more than four or five. So Dabo is correct, but we're going to get it anyways. I just don't know when.
I appreciate that. And I actually said, he's not sure if there's 12 teams good enough, and I think that will always be the case. Have a great day.
Thank you. But in NFL playoffs, you could say the same thing, but we still have a good time with it every year. Hey, thanks for the call. Let's check out Seth, who is in Nebraska. Hey, Seth, good afternoon to you.
Hi, Mr. Paul. Thanks for letting me on.
Thank you.
I just wanted to talk about the teams that may shuffle around. So I was thinking that, let's say, Texas and Oklahoma are done deals, even though they're not. I think the next thing to happen would definitely be the Big Ten. They're not going to lose anyone. So maybe, I think they'd always love Notre Dame, but Notre Dame's going to be hesitant to do that. Other teams that maybe they could get, Iowa State is kind of in their geographic footprint. Pittsburgh is, but I'm not sure they would leave. And then I was kind of wondering from you, if the Big Ten goes to 16, what type of teams would join the ACC as well and finish out their 16?
Yeah, I will tell you right now that that is one of the most complex questions to answer. You know, let's just look at the Big 12 for a second. You have one complete fish out of water there, and that is West Virginia. I mean, they're in the ACC footprint. But is that an attractive school to the ACC? You have to ask that question. Big Ten, Iowa State is more attractive than it used to be. I would think the people at Cincinnati right now are jumping up and down. UCF, Memphis, and you kind of work your way across the country. But I don't see. I mean, this conversation will be repeated many, many times, but there are not that many great choices.
Mm-hmm.
But it may not matter. Mm-hmm. Quite frankly, Rutgers and Maryland aren't great choices to the Big Ten, but they're in because of because of geography.
Yeah.
Thanks for the call. Appreciate it. And I really do think that is the issue, and it's something that we will talk about throughout the afternoon and for many, many weeks. But I think if you're ranking schools right now who matter the most, let's move Texas and Oklahoma off the table. Who's the next most important school in the country? It's Notre Dame. Notre Dame does not have an affiliation other than its bizarre marriage to the ACC and everything but football and hockey. So is this the moment that Notre Dame could be talked into staying with the ACC? Remember, the ACC threw them a lifeline a year ago. They played in that league. They made it to the playoffs. Is that a sure deal? I mean, if you're already in the league, it's a pretty easy transition. Or does Notre Dame consider something else? Or is there another possibility? You know, we're focused on four super conferences right now, assuming the SEC gets 16. Maybe there's more explosion, there's more aftershocks, and there's only three. I don't know how you do the math. I have no earthly idea, but you could see that. So I think the schools we mentioned are certainly the ones in play. I know everyone's going to call up and say, hey, my school should be in there. There are not that many realistic choices, but the schools that are most successful right now in football, and those are, I would say that's UCF, that is Cincinnati, Memphis has had great success, Temple has had some success. Other schools, Boise is in a challenging geographical area other than to the Pac-12, but they are very close to them. So where else do you go to find schools? That's going to be a question we'll ask a lot here in the next few days. We'll take a break. More to come. More of your phone calls at 855-242-7285 and a visit with the new Auburn coach straight ahead.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
Swimsuit? Check. Sunscreen? Check. Phone charger? Check. Don't forget to pack the 5-hour energy. It fits great in a pocket or carry-on, and the alert feeling will help you arrive ready for anything. Now get 20% off when you use code 5HETRAVEL at 5hourenergy.com. Expires April 30th. One-time use only. Not valid with other discounts. Remember, visit 5hourenergy.com and use code 5HETRAVEL to save 20%. Is your schedule too packed to see a doctor about your erectile dysfunction? Well, with Hims, now you can get treated for ED without stepping foot outside your door. They're changing men's healthcare by providing access to affordable sexual health treatments from the comfort of your couch. Hims provides access to doctor-trusted ED treatment options such as chewable hard mints, brand name treatments like Viagra, or generic alternatives for up to 95% cheaper. The process is simple and entirely online. Just answer a series of questions and a medical provider will determine the right treatment option. If prescribed, your medication ships to you free. No insurance needed. So what are you waiting for? Join the hundreds of thousands of trusted Hims subscribers and get treated. Start your free online visit today at Hims.com/Paul. That's Hims.com/Paul for your personalized ED treatment options. Hims.com/Paul. Hard mints are chewable compounded products which are not approved by or verified for safety or effectiveness by the FDA. Prescriptions require an online consultation with a healthcare provider who will determine if appropriate. Restrictions apply. See website for details and important safety information. Subscription required. Price varies on product and subscription plan.
It is such a great pleasure for the first time in person to welcome Coach Brian Harsin to the program. Coach, we've had a great opportunity to visit with you since you arrived at Auburn and have got a chance to listen and understand your experiences. But I think it's, you know, everyone makes a lot out of media days for the first time. It's not like you haven't seen a lot of big-time college football, but what has it been like for you?
Yeah, well, I said it right in the beginning of my my talk there was I've got more text messages and good lucks and hope you do well this week, you know, than some of the big games I played in. So it was really good to finally get here, you know, being last throughout the week and kind of seeing and hearing, you know, some of the conversations that went on with the coaches. Just glad to be here and glad to be a part of it. And as advertised, you know, getting there and get a chance to answer questions. And so the excitement, everything leading up to it, SEC Media Days. What that means for me as a coach and what I told our players is the season's upon us. That's what it means. And so I'm just looking forward to, you know, finishing out here, having a great day, getting back with our team and getting ourselves ready to get into fall camp and play.
And I think we're all tired of talking about how crazy the offseason has been. But it's one thing to deal with restrictions being lifted and getting back to a semblance of normalcy. But this June was not normal for any head coach. It was one of the busiest. It was the busiest June probably of your head coaching career.
It was, and we knew that, we anticipated that, and it was more than we even anticipated. We had players June 1 on campus. You had unofficial visits, you had official visits, you had camps. So every single day for our coaches was all about bringing people on campus. All right, and number one, doing a great job of just giving them an experience around our staff and being there in person at Auburn. And so that entire June, you know, our coaches, they worked extremely hard to make everybody, you know, have a great experience and really understand, you know, what it is we're trying to accomplish at Auburn. And so when we got done with that, we took a little bit of time off, got back with our players here in July. But, you know, I'm not sure if it's always going to be like that in June, but this one in particular, you know, was different than every other one. I talked to other coaches, they felt the same way. And when you have people that can't be on your campus that long and you open it up, that's what you should expect. And I thought we handled it really well. Our staff is tremendous. They adjust, they adapt, you know, whatever the issue is, they can correct it. We just got great people that are able to handle problems and situations and turn them into positives. And that's what we did that entire June, which was good for us.
I'm particularly interested in the development of your staff because you ended up with two coordinators who are well-versed in this part of the country. That can play a big role. Sometimes we overrate it as in the media because somebody once coached in the SEC or played in the SEC. But in terms of Coach Bobo and Coach Mason, how have they assisted you, you know, bigger picture than just on the field?
Well, both those guys, you know, they understand leadership. They've been in the head coaching role. They've been coordinators before. And so what I appreciate about both of them, low ego, high output guys, and what they're there to do, they're there to lead the offense, lead the defense. I get a chance to bounce ideas off of them. Coach Mason was great, you know, for SEC Media Days. He came in and kind of gave me a little bit of, you know, what to expect. He's been here before. He's been in this league. And so, you know, I get a lot of valuable information from him, along with him leading our defensive staff. And Coach Bobo, I've known him since 2011 and got a chance to compete against him in the Mountain West. And so, you know, having a chance to sit down and just talk about certain things, you know, at the quarterback position or even program and recruiting and other things that we need to continue to keep getting better at, those guys have been there and they understand it. They're great in their roles, but if I need information, they're able to provide it. And they've just been through some things that I haven't even been through that we can have conversations about that are going to better our program, make us better as a staff. And, you know, what I like about our staff is we got great leaders, we got great teachers, great men, high character. And, you know, whatever the task at hand is, nobody's too good for it. They're all going to go out there, they'll jump in and they'll take charge, and they will lead and they will find a way to get it done. And so we've just had a really good connection with the staff over the last 7 months. I'm looking forward to seeing that now as we get into August with our players and, you know, where we go from there, because the players, the coaches, you know, I think are operating at a very high level. Now we got to bring that together and get ready for September 4th.
Coach, we often talk so much about the competitiveness of college football, and you have to recruit a certain level. But I've heard you a couple of times, you know, talk about conviction and character in the kind of people that you want around this program. I'm particularly interested in your philosophy on that. I mean, I feel like I know what you believe in, but how does that translate to a program?
Well, certainly I want guys that love football. You know, I think that solves a lot of things. When you get guys that love the game, you get guys that are going to do the work necessary, not just love to play, but love to do all the things necessary to be a great player, all right, and to be on a great team. And so I think that's different. Everybody loves to play. I loved to play when I was in college. But all the work necessary in order to be on a really good team and to go out there and play really good football, you got to love the day-to-day. You got to get up in the morning, do all the things throughout the day, all right, and then the next day get up and repeat again. And so looking for guys like that, and that's one of the things with our staff. We've identified kind of the characteristics that we want with our Auburn players, and one of them is loving the game and hard work and dedication and character and all those things that really make, you know, just the person successful. You know, that's what we're looking for, because that'll all translate. We'll get the drills. We'll get the schemes. We'll have all the fundamentals that we need to play the game. Give me somebody that loves the game. Give me somebody that wants to be in this program. Give me somebody that will do the day-to-day and really work on being that 1-0 type person. We're going to have a good football team. And so we're looking for that. And that just takes time. It takes relationships. It takes the connection to have all those things. So, you know, we understand that the type of person, player that we're getting.
And in relation to recruiting, so often media, and that's what I do. We just live and breathe off of rankings and stars. And but I know coaches. I mean, like you, you evaluate. You don't just, you know, open a booklet and say, I want that guy because he's a 4 or 5. How do you approach that part of the game?
Yeah, well, that's all part of recruiting. You know, you have the rankings. At the same time, you got to believe, and it's our eyes, our ears. Like you know what you're looking for. You've identified these players long before you ever knew who they were. Hey, we need this size. We need this kind of person or this type of player. And then you go find out on film, okay, we found that. Now you figure out what kind of person you're getting. And you got to trust your evaluation. And I really believe that. And you got to believe that all those characteristics you're looking for, this player has, and he's got the size, he's got the ability. You know what? We can develop that. And I think it goes back to how strongly do you feel about your developmental program? Do you feel like your strength staff? Do you feel feel like your coaches, do you feel like the way you teach can get this player to the level you need him to be in order to go out there and be a championship type program? So, you know, a lot of that has to do with just your staff. It has to do with what you believe and how you develop players in your program, and going out there and finding the right guys that fit. You know, and that's something I've done that my whole career. You know, these guys, they fit, and they're going to be great players in this offense, defense, special teams, whatever it is, because we're going to teach them how to do these things. We're going to get them in this weight program. We're going to show them how important nutrition is. And this player has so much potential. And that's really what you're doing right now, is you're looking at somebody who's 16, 17 years old and saying, you know what, I believe in you. That's conviction. And I know you have the potential to be great. And I've got a blueprint and a plan here that's going to help you do that. Will you do this work necessary to be this type of person and player? Absolutely. Well, those are the guys that we want. And so to me, you know, as our recruiting staff and our coaches evaluate, you got to trust that. And sometimes I do think rankings can talk you out of it. I do think there's things, and you got to have that conviction that, you know what? I believe in this player. I believe in his family. And I believe that we can get him where he needs to be. And, you know, that's been an approach that I've been a part of for a long time. I truly do believe it. I believe in how we develop our players. And the guys that we're going to bring in our program, they're going to be great people, and they're going to be elite football players, because they're going to do all the things necessary to make that happen.
With so much going on away from the field right now, and you know, it's a cliche question to talk about the NIL, but you know, in relation to what you just got through saying, you've got to keep a balance in that locker room. I'm particularly interested in how you have seen it already and how you see it moving forward, dealing with all these external issues that become internal issues in the locker room.
Sure. Yeah, that's probably the biggest question for me as a coach, is not so much that there's a deal made or a picture posted or some money transferred to one of our players. It's, all right, you've just brought in more people into their lives. And we talk a lot about just simplifying your life. Simplify your life. All right, here's the things that matter. Here's what's important to you. This is what you want to accomplish. That's why you sit down and go over goals and expectations with players. Like, this is what you want. Okay, well, here's a plan to get that. When you start adding in more layers, all of a sudden there's more distractions. Can you accomplish these things with all these other factors going on in your life? And that's the one thing right now we've kind of, you know, I wouldn't say we've lost control of that, but there's less of that. And I'm always trying to keep, you know, our players in that locker room, in that team room, and our people around them as much as we can. And we've just opened that up. So now it goes back to your players and teaching them, all right, who you gonna deal with, all right, who you gonna work with, you know, what matters to you, what are you about, what do you stand for, and, you know, making sure that, you know, the people that support them are also going to be thinking about those things. And then let's not lose sight of, you know, you're at Auburn University, you're here to play really good football, you're here to graduate from an unbelievable program and be a part of a team and be a part of something bigger than yourself. Don't lose sight of that, because that's going to be more rewarding in the end, in my opinion. And so we've embraced it, we're going to deal with it. That's going to be a part of what we have to coach now, and we'll continue to work through it. It's just so early that we don't have a lot of great examples to say that's really good, that's really bad, and just keep sharing that information amongst our players until we learn more.
I'd like to close by talking about some things we did address many months ago when you got the job, but I mean, you didn't need this job. You were a very successful head coach at a brand university. I have friends that work in the media in Boise, and I mean, that's a big deal out there. That's just not a small little school in a mountain town. What pushed you over? Because you could have said, great job, more money, but I don't need that. I mean, that's a lot, maybe more headaches than it's worth. What convinced you that you needed to go down this road?
Yeah, well, number one, I've talked about our athletic director, my conversation with him. I want to work with people that I believe in. And when we had that conversation, I believe in him. And also a chance to be the very best. You know, that's something that is personal to me and something that, you know, I know in my family we talk about, and a chance to be the best. And when you're in the SEC, you have a chance to be the best. And at a program like Auburn, you have a chance to be the best. And so in order to do that, you have to compete against the best. You have to beat the best. And you got to put yourself in a position to bring in people to your program that can achieve that type of success. And so I just felt like at that time, you know, it was so exciting when I got that phone call, and it's the SEC and it's Auburn. And I followed Auburn. You know, I watched Cam Newton. I watched those games. And so when that phone call came in, and when I got done and hung up the phone and I read the creed, and I said, you know what, that's what I want to be a part of. And so the next conversation, you know, it all led to eventually being offered the job. This more than ever, you know, you talk about belief and wanting to be somewhere, more than ever, this is where I wanted to be. And so, and I hadn't felt that way. I love where I was at, wasn't looking, but when this opportunity came up, the people, the program, the conference, the chance to be the very best, all those things were drivers in this decision. And I set it up there at the podium, and I'll say it right now, the last 7 months, better than expected. I love the community. I love being at Auburn. I'm so happy my family feels the same way, and our coaches and their families feel the same way. So, you know, it's been the best decision I've made. And now we got to go out there and prove it. We got a lot of things we've got to do on the football field. But as far as, you know, where I want to be and what I want to be a part of, Auburn's it.
Coach, thank you. It's been just absolutely delightful to get a chance to meet you in person and have you on the program. We wish you all the best.
Well, thank you, and thank you for all you do. I appreciate it.
Thank you, Coach. Coach Brian Harsin joining us from Auburn University. Long way to go before we shut this thing down in Hoover, Alabama. We will be right back.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
This podcast is proud to be supported by Jet's Pizza, the number one pick in Detroit-style pizza. Why? It's simple. Jet's is better. With the thickest, crispiest, cheesiest Detroit-style pizza in the country, there's no competition. Right now, get $5 off any 8-corner pizza with code 8SAVE. That's the number 8, S-A-V-E. Go to jetspizza.com to learn more and find a location near you. Again, try Jet's signature 8-corner pizza and get $5 off with code 8SAVE. That's the number 8, S-A-V-E. Jet's Pizza. Better because it has to be.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPN pods. That's amazon.com/ESPN pods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey, we're welcome all of you back. That is a live look at the big room. They call it the print room. It's not really. There are a lot of media people. So we're down to 23. Oh, excuse me. Just went to 21 as we were talking. I feel like I'm on the election board, Steve Kornacki. This is going to be something you'll see all afternoon long. And we're too far away from it to start identifying who these people are. But when we get to the final hour, this will become the most watched event of media days. We do it every year. I think we do, you know, everybody leaves. They leave us alone. They leave us by ourselves. So we have to entertain ourselves. So we appreciate you letting us entertain you. Let's continue with more phone calls here. And Jeff is up next in Texas. How are you, Jeff?
Wonderful, Paul. It's an honor. I've been listening to you for years. Auburn alum. I believe in Auburn and love it. But I think the Texas and Oklahoma thing is already a done deal. I believe they've been working on this for a couple of years now. Simply because you know, the Big 12 came to ESPN, hey, let's renew our contract. They shut them down. The buying out CBS, ESPN buying CBS, the SEC game for an incredible sum of money. I think the powers that be and behind-the-scenes brokers have been working this for a couple of years. Just the money makes the most sense. And I believe Texas and Oklahoma will thrive in the SEC, especially in the new era of player endorsements, because there is a lot of money.
Hey, Jeff, let me jump in for a second. First of all, thank you for the kind words. I didn't realize where we were on the clock, but we are going to have to take a break. More to come right after this.